I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, AAA Baseball gets the John Feinstein treatment in his new book, Where Nobody Knows Your Name. Not a very cheery title, is it? But first...
I'm the greatest thing that ever lived. Yeah. And I upset Son and Lisbon, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest.
Just over 50 years ago, on February 25th, 1964, a slender, young, not quite heavyweight with a big mouth beat Sonny Liston. Nobody was supposed to be able to do that. The new champion's name was Cassius Clay, but not for long. Shortly after becoming the heavyweight champion of the world, Clay became Muhammad Ali. According to veteran Boston Herald boxing writer Ron Borges, even before doing that, the new champ had appealed to at least one young sports fan and irritated an older one.
I can remember listening that night on the radio with my dad, and I remember two distinct things. One was when the announcers were saying, you know, Clay's blind, he's got something in his eyes, and my father sort of beaming and me feeling, this is not good. And then when the fight was over and Clay had won and my father having nothing to say and me cavorting around the room like a idiot.
Borges and lots of other people soon began to learn that the triumph of Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali would have repercussions beyond boxing.
It was just such a beginning of such a societal shift because he represented things that people like my father's generation didn't understand.
Ali went on to beat Liston in a rematch that featured the so-called Phantom Punch, and then over the course of a long career interrupted by a 3-year suspension for refusing induction into the military, Ali established himself as one of the greatest ever to enter the ring. Boxing historian John Shulian, among others, feels no other recent heavyweight has measured up to Ali.
Absolutely not. There's nobody who comes close. You can have a great fighter, but he's got to have opponents who are great fighters, too. You think of all the people Ali fought, starting with Liston. You know, then he fought old champs like Floyd Patterson and Archie Moore. But then he got to Frazier and Foreman and Ken Norton and Jimmy Ellis and, you know, good fighters and great fighters, both.
Given what Muhammad Ali eventually came to represent beyond boxing, the sense of what he meant to the sport that brought him to public attention 50 years ago has perhaps faded. Today, there's lots of boxing on cable TV, and in 2013, according to Sports Illustrated, the highest-earning athlete on the planet was a boxer, Floyd Mayweather, winner of titles in 5 different divisions. But Ron Borges sees in the current state of the heavyweight division a dramatic contrast to the days when Ali dominated his sport.
I would bet if you and I walked down the street here on Commonwealth Avenue in Boston and stopped people and said, who's heavyweight champion? 50% would say Mike Tyson, because that's the last person they remember.
Ron Borges is partly right.
Mike Tyson.
Oh, no way. No.
No idea?
I have no idea.
All right.
Sorry.
Klitsch something. I don't know his full name. I know he ran for president of, I think, Ukraine or whatever.
The Ukrainian guy is Vitali Klitschko, who's done most of his recent fighting in Europe. He is, in fact, the heavyweight champ, at least according to some of the competing federations and associations that confer such titles. And he may be the next president of Ukraine, though he hasn't actually run yet. But the point Ron Borges was making probably stands. 50 years ago, everybody on the street would have been able to name the man they call the Louisville Lip, the man who called himself the greatest. In the generation before Ali, Joe Louis became a hero to black Americans in particular when he won the heavyweight crown, and Americans in general when he beat Max Schmeling. Well before that, such larger-than-life legends as John L. Sullivan and Jack Johnson dominated the division. Jack Dempsey, Gene Tunney, Rocky Marciano, these are names with which to conjure. But after Ali, it could be argued that people were more familiar with the name and face of promoter Don King than they were with the combatants. Like several of them, George Foreman fought on and on and on. It might be said that Leon Spinks and Buster Douglas were embarrassing as champions, but in some respects they'd have been embarrassing even if they hadn't been champions. At the other extreme, Muhammad Ali not only won the championship multiple times, he was vindicated by the Supreme Court, which overturned his suspension, and he performed goofy magic tricks for African children and then showed them how the tricks were done. Decades after his career in the ring ended, he lit the flame at the Atlanta Olympics and impressed viewers with his determination despite the Parkinson's syndrome from which he suffers. In a sense, the story that came to contain all those elements and more was launched in Miami just over 50 years ago, when the young man who would become Muhammad Ali raised his hands over his head as Sonny Liston failed to come out of his corner for the beginning of round 7, a development so shocking and sudden that Steve Ellis, bringing the news to the TV audience, had to urge his partner, the same Joe Louis who'd held the title that had just changed hands, to do his job.
They might be stopping it. That might be all, ladies and gentlemen. Get up there, Joe. Get up there. Get up in the ring.